the studios of Boise State Public Radio News. I'm Samantha Wright, filling in for Jim Agadat. It's Idaho Matters. State health officials are giving high marks to first responders in McCall for containing what could have been a significant health issue. One woman saw something was wrong, and before long, officials had found and contained a chemical spill in Payette Lake. Our Morning Edition host, George Prentice, has the latest on the story. Let's take a listen.
It was Sunday, May 28th, the middle of the Memorial Day weekend, when a chemical sheen was detected out on Payette Lake. Now, some official tests are still being conducted at an EPA lab, but in a conversation that we've just had with Aaron Schess, regional administrator at the Idaho Department of Environmental Quality, he says they're pretty sure what that chemical was.
The assumption is diesel, based off of the observations from, initially based off the observations from the drinking water operator in McCall, and her name is Sabrina Sims, and Sabrina was the one who was really on point here. She noticed the sheen on the water, noted the, she said that the odor was very, very bad. And that the whole situation looked bad and basically immediately shut down that surface water intake. So they've got two surface water intakes on the lake. The other one's about a mile away, and it was completely unaffected by the spill, and they verified that that water intake wasn't being impacted. There are field parameters they can test for within the field equipment. It's not laboratory equipment, but it gives you a general idea of presence or absence of different types of constituents. So it was determined that it was still safe to serve from that other drinking water source, which is, I believe it's Davis Beach. Yep, there you go. They're using the Davis Beach surface water intake. The one that was shut down is the one that's near Legacy Park, so that's the park that's sort of closer to the marina. Even if something did breach into the system, it's been back flushed out by now, more than likely. And of course, analytical testing is going to be required before that system turns back on again. So the timing is important because petroleum can move rather quickly, and depending on proximity to a surface water intake, the system can become fouled with petroleum pretty quickly, and you certainly don't want that happening ever. But definitely not during a holiday weekend where McCall tends to see a lot of extra people there. The other thing is it's important to get the samples as quickly as possible because it takes the lab has to set up to do VOC sampling. It's not something they normally do, and VOC sampling is, while it sounds simple, put water in a bottle, it's not. You have to make sure that there's no what they call headspace in your sample bottle. And that's really just gas. And as you know, gases can be in liquids, and especially if you're, you know, collecting it and there's a little bit of agitation. If you have some atmospheric gas in your sample, and you're sampling for volatile organic compounds, your sample could underestimate the concentration of VOCs if it has any of that headspace, that airspace in the sample, because there's oxygen in there, and the oxygen is going to react with the VOCs, which will then reduce the level of VOCs within that sample. It will no longer be representative. That's what happened during the first round of sampling. So Sabrina went out and, you know, had the right bottles and did the right method for, according to EPA, for sampling for VOCs and drinking water, and then resubmitted those samples to the lab. And so that happened about midweek last week, and we're hoping that those results will come back this week. Mm-hmm. But from a DEQ perspective, that's not an emergency right now because that whole source has been turned off. Nobody's being exposed to it, at least through drinking water.
Is there any kind of benefit from sunshine or heat, wind, rain to help dissipate this?
Absolutely. So sunlight, volatile organic compounds, because by definition they sort of they have a lower evaporation point than a lot of the liquids that we're used to dealing with. So certainly far lower than water. And you actually experience that every time you fill up your car with gas. Those fumes that you're smelling, well, that's coming from the liquid volatilizing as soon as it hits atmospheric conditions. So yeah. sunlight, evaporation, wind, and then rain causes agitation, which again, when you agitate VOCs, they're going to volatilize even more. So yeah, the weather can play a huge role. It would take longer for this to naturally attenuate, say, during a calm period of weather in the winter time, right? Because there you're not having any rain, you're not having any precipitation, and the temperature is relatively lower, too. So you're going to get a lower rate of volatilization.
At what stage does this move toward, and I realize we're still waiting for that EPA testing to be completed, but has this shifted to the investigatory stage?
Yeah, I would say that we're there already. We moved rather quickly into the investigatory stage after the actual event. The reason why you want to move quickly on that is, again, petroleum can, you know, dissipate rather quickly, so we want to find the source, because if that's a source that can release again, we want to know that so we can prevent that from happening. We had a similar event up there, as I mentioned earlier, years ago, right before 4th of July weekend, where some diesel fuel was put into a fill tube, and it all ended up in the lake. And DEQ and EPA, you know, had a deuce of a time trying to figure out, you know, what the actual source was. And it came down to a suspected heating fuel system in a house along the lake, and that was subsequently decommissioned, and then they went to electric, so they'll never have that issue again. We want to find this source. It came from somewhere. Diesel doesn't just naturally occur in the environment, especially at those quantities. So we want to try and find whether this was just a one-off, somebody accidentally or maybe maliciously dumping something into the storm sewer, or perhaps there was a receptacle that was designed to hold diesel fuel that failed somewhere, and then it made it into the system. So that's where we're at there. The storm water system is going to have to be carefully monitored and pumped out. I know that they've done a lot of that already. But even so, just speaking from past experience, when you have spills like this, you don't know exactly where it came from or exactly how much you have, and it's in an enclosed system, it's going to do what we call burp out, sort of like a drip feed, if you will, except it's petroleum instead of information. You're going to have a bit of a drip feed as you have precipitation events. So that's going to have to be, that outflow is going to have to be monitored for quite a while, and I would suspect that there'll be some level of booming there for some time.
And again, because of that quick action, that's why this morning we can say that threat to the public is low, right?
Indeed. I would say, for the most part, I would say that the hazmat response to this was really pretty stellar, especially for the local first responders, right? So Sabrina, the drinking water operator, did a fantastic job. Had she not been on point and willing to act and do the right thing, this would be a very different story. So I want to call Sabrina out specifically for doing an outstanding job. She really did. Everybody here at DEQ who works in drinking water is really happy with what she did. The local fire department did a great job, and then, of course, they got a contractor out, H2O Environmental, who does a lot of this work across the state, to start taking a vac truck and pumping off that sheen. But, yeah, so, George, my assumption would be that will be boomed for quite a while. They may be able to reduce the amount of boom as the sheen is petroleum sheen in the area keeps reducing. And so they'll just constantly make adjustments and monitor it until it isn't there anymore. The fact that we have such a robust system for responding to these types of events are why Idahoans don't hear about these kinds of things very often. They happen all the time, George. And you don't necessarily hear about them because they are addressed so quickly and so efficiently.
Thanks for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Samantha Wright. We'll see you tomorrow.
From an Iraq war cover-up to towns ravaged by opioids to the roots of our modern immigration crisis, Embedded explores what's been sealed off and undisclosed. NPR's original investigative podcast reveals why these stories and the people behind them matter. Listen to the Embedded podcast, only from NPR.